So let's go on to grace. And here we've been discerning these thoughts and feelings and confessing on them. That's part of the scriptural teaching, that we need to confess on these thoughts and feelings so that we can recognize that they're not us, and also so that discernment gift can help us expand our knowledge, our understanding of how these thoughts and feelings work. But we want to get rid of them. Now, are evil spirits or evil thoughts and feelings, are they in the physical realm? Can you grab a hold of it? Can you grab a hold of an evil spirit, thought, or feeling? You wish you could sometimes, but you can't. That's because it's invisible. It's mental. It's in our mind. It's in what God calls the spirit realm. God is a spirit. He has thoughts and feelings, but his are all holy. The devil is in the spirit realm. He's a spirit being, but his thoughts and feelings got perverted. And he passed those perversions on to other angels. Well, for God to get rid of the perversion, the evil in that realm, in the mental or spirit realm, he needs to bring it down to a physical level, not to an ink pen, but to a physical level, so that it is no longer in that spirit dimension. It's no longer going to mess with anybody in that particular dimension or realm. And we have a wonderful capacity that other creatures don't have. What makes us different than animals? Why don't animals sin? Did you ever write anything about animals sinning? They don't sin. Why not? They don't have any reasoning ability. They don't make moral decisions. We do. And that's where sin is. Sin is in our reasoning capacity. It's in our decision-making capacity. And that is where the devil got his perversion sown, was within our mind, our mental, spiritual dimension. So we are both a physical creature. We have a physical body, physical machinery, physical brain, and so on. But we also have thoughts and feelings that are mental. They're in the spirit realm. So God uses a power called grace. And for those of us that came out of religions in the past, we might have only known that we said grace at the table when we gave thanks for our meal. And that was good. Grace in certain places does mean thanks. But it means a lot more than just thanks. It really is a power that can, here we have a Holy Spirit power that can join with an evil spirit power, bring it down to a physical substance, and we can cast it out. We can spit it out. And wonder why so many of us were raised thinking that spitting was so uncouth, so nasty, so yucky, so ooh. Just those people that chew tobacco do that, and it's just so gross and grody. Well, one reason we might have been loaded down with that attitude or that impression was that those evil angels knew that someday we would need to spit to get rid of their evidence within our mind, their droppings, their particular leave-behinds that they left here. These thoughts and feelings are not intelligent creatures that go through our mind, but there are intelligent angels behind those thoughts and feelings, pulling the strings however much they need to, whatever effort they need to make to manipulate us oftentimes we just manipulate each other and carry on fine without their intervention. So what God wants us to do is to recognize the thoughts or the feeling, confess on it, get prayed for grace by the laying on of hands, or pulling on it, asking God to send angels to deposit it to us, and believing that that grace will take a thought or a feeling, bring it down to a physical level, and we can cast that out. We can spit it out. Where would a teaching like this come from? Some of us thought, some of our old men thought, that it was a circus sideshow. Why? This is weird. Where does it ever talk about this in the Bible? Oh, it does? Jesus spit? It says he spit? Come on. It does. Amen. And so we can go to some of the different scriptures that record, and all of them are recorded in connection with healing. And what is it that needs to be healed in our life? It said of Jesus that he would heal the brokenhearted. Well, it wasn't the blood-pumping heart that was broken. The heart was symbolic of the mind. A double-minded condition, a broken-hearted condition needs to be healed. And it's going to take a power greater than the evil that's caused the broken heart to heal the broken heart. So Christ was the one that brought a power. God sent a power through Christ that had never been available prior to that to the people here on the earth, prior to Adam and Eve, or since Adam and Eve sinned, anyway. So we have different scriptural accounts. I don't know if you have one that you'd like to share.
Book of Mark, chapter 7.
Mark, chapter 7.
Verse 32 through 35.
32 through 35. Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you? We can pick it up, okay? Speak loud.
Verse 32. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. So this is an account where people are bringing one to Jesus so that he can put his hand upon him. 33, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. 34, and looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. 35, and straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain.
Amen. So here, did you say it said Jesus spit? Yes, right there in verse 33. It didn't say he sneezed. Didn't say he coughed. Didn't say he burped. Didn't say anything but he spit. Right. Why is it recorded? Say what? No, not to fill up space. It's recorded because in that healing, it was an evil spirit that was causing this problem in this person. So Jesus needed to draw that evil spirit out of that person, run it through the grace power in his mind, bring it down to a physical level, and cast it out. Transfer some Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. And what was the product of this work? The man spoke. And he could hear. And so we say, if it works, what's the problem? Have you tried anything else that worked? It worked for Jesus. and it was recorded for us to learn from. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God can be perfect. It worked. In Jesus' ministry, if we haven't found something else that works, let's try it. See if the product matches the promise. And it does. God will, with our faith, mixing with that grace, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. So we need to mix our faith with this power that God makes available. They glorified God, which had given such power unto man when Jesus did one of these healings. They had never seen it in Israel like this before. They knew this wasn't a common thing. But the power was there to forgive sin or to cast out unclean spirit, which was one and the same. That's what sin is. So when we use this grace power, we honor a gift that God makes available to us, that can lay hands on us. They'll be praying for us. They'll be asking God with a fervent prayer to bring this grace power to our mind. We're asking for grace, and we sometimes feel something in our throats. Sometimes we don't. Sooner or later, we do. Oh, I must be catching a cold. And we'll be talking to somebody, and something will drop down our throat. And we'll think, oh, this couldn't be it. I'll just swallow this one. Well, it's going to come out anyway. You swallow it. It's not going to get back into you somehow just because you swallow it. Remember, it's brought down to a physical level. Now it's not in the mental realm. And so that particular spirit has been cast out. It's been cast out of that mental or spirit dimension, and now it's in the physical level, and that spirit is not ever going to hurt anybody ever again, you or anybody else. God pictures it, though, like a 40-acre field, and if you know anything about fields, there may be, anybody go around with those, get the little stick tights on them? You know what the little stick tights are? Well, there's probably not just one little stick tight bush that's growing in a 40-acre field. So you may pull up, maybe you just break off one of those little sprigs of stick tights, and you throw it down or burn it up in the trash and say, I've got that stick tight. Boy, they're not going to mess with me again. And walk five more feet and you got stick tights all over you. Well, each of these evil thoughts or feelings that we have lots of brothers and sisters that do the same thing they do, because that's the way our life has been. They have taken up space within our memory banks, within our mind. Every time they work, they take up a little more space. It's like a 40-acre field. Every time they work, they get to spread just a little bit more in that field. So if we get rid of one jealous thought, there's probably another 5, 6, 10, 50 other jealous thoughts in there. They're going to try to come up and say, you didn't get rid of me. I'm still here. Now, what are we going to believe at that point? Are we going to believe that when God said, grace is to cast out this evil thought, and you can bring it down to a physical level and cast it out? Or we want to believe this thought that says, ha, 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 I didn't get rid of me. Why would he be saying that? Would that be a God thought, or would that be a devil thought? Why would God tell us, ha, 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 I didn't get rid of that one? That doesn't sound like a God thought. That sounds like a devil thought. A devil thought. That's another devil thought. I can confess on that one. It's getting me to doubt. It's wanting me to doubt. I'll write that down. I'll tell on that one. Then I'll grace that thought out. Ha ha, we got that stick tight too. And thought by thought, we can discern them. We can grace them out. And that field starts to get clear. Are there any questions about grace? How it works? Scriptures on it? Anybody need any more scriptures on spitting? There are a few more.
How do you get grace?
Well, we talked a little bit about getting grace by the laying on of hands. Somebody that works in the gift of grace. And God is the God of all grace. So He will send His angels, His messengers, with grace, bring it to where the need is, works in our mind. And one of the descriptions that was given last time was grace is like the guys in our immune system. Not guys, it could be girls, it's neither one. It's just these white blood cells that go through our immune system, and they find anything that does not belong in our physical body. They gobble it up, and it's out of our physical body. It's no longer a problem. Well, that's what grace does in our mind. It goes after whatever has been confessed on, brings it down, attaches to it, brings it down to a physical level, and casts it out. Now, we can then continue to ask for grace. We don't have to be with someone that has the gift of grace to lay hands on us. But it's been likened to the difference between, well, quite a few examples, but what's a good example? If you say, grace, 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 God. Oh, God, I need grace. And compare that to where somebody has the faith, the assurance, the zeal, the boldness, the grace working through, and it, you know you're getting grace. Now you're out on the road going down the highway, and that's probably not the time to get real fervent about grace, but sometime when you're alone and you can have a prayer session for yourself, you can ask for grace. And the more fervent your grace call is, your draw on God is, the more your faith is believing that God gives you that grace, that power will be available to you, and it will cast out evil.
How do I know when I need to get hands laid on? Do I just walk up to, if you work in grace, and say, okay, give me grace? And third, when I'm getting hands laid on, what am I supposed to be doing?
Okay, let's take the second one first. The second one is, how do I ask for grace? How do I arrange it? Well, in this location, there's a pastor. The job of the pastor is to make sure that we have our needs met. So if there's a pastor here, or there's a pastor in the Columbia area, or a pastor in the Jeff City area, if there are people that are there working in grace, then that's the job of the pastors to help hook you up with what you need. So we ask the pastor. The pastor will say, okay, you need grace, you work in grace, help this person with grace. We'll then have hands laid on us, and that person will be asking for grace, pulling on grace, we call it, and that can be done. It's not a public display. We don't say, okay, put them there in the middle and we'll all look at them and make fun. Well, that's not God. But it may be other people getting grace at the same time, and you know, the more people that are pulling on God's Spirit, that puts a real draw on those angels, and you can feel the effect. So whether it's in a public setting, semi-public like this, or whether it's in a room where you're off and nobody else is going by, you can go after grace, go after God. See, that was one and one and a half.
So what am I supposed to do when I'm getting hands
laid off? Okay. What am I supposed to do when I get hands laid on me? The main thing that you're doing is asking God for grace. Now, if you're saying grace, 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 if you're speaking in tongues, your prayer is so fervent that you're able to go on and get into a speaking in tongues, that's fine. In discernment, some feelings may or may not well up in you. You may have some thoughts that you didn't talk about in discernment.
Amen.
You don't need to sit there and try to do discernment again and say, well, let's see, did I confess on that one? Oh, I didn't confess on that one, so I guess I better not be thinking about this one because the grace won't work on this one. So any thought that's going through your mind, which most of them are going to try to distract you from your job of pulling on grace, is an evil thought trying to do its job. Keep pulling on grace. Let grace do its job. You keep your focus on grace, 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 God. Grace, 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 and have some faith to mix with it. I know you're there, God. Grace, 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 grace. I hate these spirits, God. Grace, 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 grace. Or give me all the help I can get, God. Grace, 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 grace. It's our fervent prayer of a righteous man. We're righteously asking the right one for the grace.
And then the third question was, so I've gotten hands laid on one time and pulled on grace there, and then I've used it at home. I've had my little grace prayer session. How do I know when I need more laying on of hands for more grace?
Well, one question we might ask, how do I know when I need to go back and get hands laid on instead of just having my own prayer session? Why would I not go to a gift that works in the laying on of hands? Why would I not honor the order that God has set up to get a help from God for that particular work?
Amen.
We can check our motive on that. If we have a thought that says, well, I'm almost in the seventh day, I should be able to do it on my own. We might take that one and just ask discernment if that's an evil thought or and keep in mind that there are depths of grace. And that's the point. There's depths of faith as well. If we're growing along, and yeah, we're kind of working it good. Praise God, we've had a few grace sessions at home. But a person that's working in grace, they've got faith, they've got grace, they've got boldness. It's a gift. They're working in part of God's order. Why would we not want some of that extra oomph, extra power coming in to really go after these spirits? Is there something we're trying to show by saying, well, I don't need it? If I go up there, they'll think I'm not growing very much, huh? Or all these different thoughts that try to get us to not honor a gift of God. So if it's available, then we can ask for it. On the other hand, there's the other side of it. Oh, I better ask for it again. I better ask for it again. I better ask for it again. Well, then we're not honoring the instructions that we just pulled out on our own. So we sort of learn that there's seasons that God has. And for instance, like when we're up here on a weekend, well, that's a good place, a good opportunity, because God has different ones that work in grace here. So we could probably ask for grace while we're here. Sometime while we're here. So that we could get an extra rich charge of grace. But we probably don't have to call tomorrow and have someone sent to us to pray for grace tomorrow, and then the next day make another call and have them come by. Maybe we can trust that God's got His angels there, and we can have our prayer session tomorrow or the next day. And maybe when we get to church, if it's in Jeff City or Columbia, maybe we can make it a couple of days. work 3 or 4 days. Sometimes that's why we feel so good when we get to come back up here. Or sometimes why we feel so bad, because the spirits know that that's where the grace is, and they're going to go out when we do get back, whichever angle that gets worked on. Got any traditions on that? Was it?
That's it.
Pretty well covered. Okay. You had a point?
When I'm sitting in the grace chair, should I just say grace, grace, or should I visualize myself in the situation when I had the feeling? Is it more effective to visualize myself as a young child? Maybe that's when the spirit entered in, or can I trust that the grace is going to get him anyway?
It's most effective to believe that God is giving you grace and that God is going to take care of His promise. That's the most effective. Now, if you want to ask, what if I picture that old man like a big mountain of manure, and every time the grace comes in, it's another scoop coming out of the mountain of manure? Well, if that stimulates you and helps you be more fervent in your faith and in your asking for help, go with it! If visualizing something like that increases your fervency or your intensity of pulling on that grace, that's what you want. You want to believe that that grace is there to do the job that God set it to do. And if your faith can be, well, your boldness or your zeal can be bolstered up by that, praise God. But it's not a requirement. It's not going to keep you from it if you don't have that particular thought or vision in there. Yes.
How do you grow the fervency? How do you get to be fervent if you don't feel it?
Okay, good question. Sometimes we need to either imagine or see a child somewhere that either has been abused or is being abused by a big bully. And here's a helpless, defenseless child. And there's a big bully that's poking on him, hitting on him, kicking him, slapping him, stabbing him with little knives here and there. Anything to cause pain and suffering. And then you take that image and you put it right inside your head here. And you know that you, the soul, and anything good that God has put in there is that little baby. And that evil angels have built an old man to do just what that big bully is doing. It's tormenting, kicking, abusing, raping, cutting to pieces, biting like a snake, a barrel of rattlesnakes, going after that defenseless, helpless soul and a little bit of Christ that might be growing in there. Now, if you don't like to see that happen on the outside, we need to get the same intensity. We do not want to see that going on the inside. Jesus loved righteousness, but He hated iniquity because He knew what it was doing. He knew what those evil angels were after, and He hated it. Meditate on what evil angels have done and are continuing to do as much as they're able to work through our lives. If we really knew the consequence of what our thoughts, our words, our feelings are doing when they work through us for someone else, if we really knew the spiritual effect on another person, we would never do it. And it takes a while for us to appreciate what effect really is going on with our thoughts and our feelings our words, our actions. And we can learn to hate that, to have a godly sorrow when that works through us, to learn to have compassion on another person when we know that an evil thought has worked through us to cause some hell in their mind, to have some compassion for what has worked through and what they're going through because of what worked through us. Ask for mercy. Get on our knees. Ask for mercy to cover for that, if God will. Know that it is life and death that's working here. This is not just a game of checkers. See who's going to win. This is life and death. So it's meditating. Thinking on it. Letting it grow within our mind.
I have received in the past, like when we work in our discernment session, we usually make the notes and make the patterns to see how they work together to get that concept in our mind. And later, when we do go to the discernment desk and sit in the chair at different times, we may
have grace gift.
Grace gift, and we may have our book there to look at it. Is what being said that's not necessary, or is it just a way that seems to be most effective for us to pinpoint? Or I'm still not really sure on which is the right thing.
Again, it was said last time, we'll repeat the answer to a similar question before, and that is that there is no canned plan. You've got to go by the letter of the law in order to get your grace, except that you need to ask for it and believe that God will deliver it. Now, if you don't ask for it, it says come boldly unto the throne of grace. If you don't come boldly to get grace, and if you don't have faith to mix with it, you're not going to get it. Other than that, if your little cobweb or discernment list helps you go after those things and increases your intensity of wanting to get that out of there, if that increases the fervency of your prayer, go after it. If it's a distraction, well, I got one down. Two, three. Oh, gee, they stopped praying for me. Oh, boy. I'm lost now. I didn't get through the first page even. Well, I guess I'll never get those out. Well, what happened? If it's more of a doubt set up than it is a help to you to get the faith up to go after it, then it's working against you. So, work what's effective for you.
So, as a discernment gift, when you get questions like that, I guess the way to answer that is just as you said, because you don't want to give a personal testimony what seems to be working for you, but just maybe give examples of different ways people think to give someone a guideline. Because you do get questions. Well, what do you think about? What do you do? Well, there can be a variety of ways that people permanently go after the Spirit.
And so you're laying a foundation for a person's first time in grace, or maybe their 15th time in grace, and they go to the grace person. Maybe there's some more seeds that are sown on how to do it. And mostly, the emphasis is you mix your faith with the God of all grace, and you pull on it for however much you can pull on it, and believe that these spirits are going out. And if you have your book there and you want to go through some of it, if that helps you, fine. If you don't, if you say, well, I can't go to grace, I lost my book, I can't find it, it's around there somewhere, guess I can't have grace. That's the setup. And God doesn't want us to have some law that says you have to have this particular thing before you can go. You got to have faith to mix with grace. You can carry that faith with you all the time. Grow it. Pull on that grace. Come on. Praise God.
Yeah.
this is a comment that might help Leanne and some of that. Several years ago, when we were learning how to use grace and cast evil spirits out, we found that evil spirits also have techniques of hiding. And what seemed to be very prevalent when we were in our confession, or the spirit that was up and active at the time, and we caught it after the fact maybe and went to discernment and confessed on it, it didn't seem like it was a very big deal when we were getting prayed for grace. So they kind of got underneath the table or got underneath the rug, and we couldn't seem to find out what we were supposed to be casting out. So then we used our tool to look at what we had written down in a discernment session, because they were using a technique to hide from us. So we used it as a memory peg to remind us how vicious they were when they actually were.
If that helps our fervency in going after them, that's fine. We all need a little help now and then with certain kinds of things, but you do not have to have all of those thoughts and feelings go back through your mind when you're sitting in the grace chair. They may try to tell you they're hiding from you, but grace knows how to search them out. They've already been tagged. Discernment has already marked them. So it's like they can scurry around through the body however they want to, but they've been marked. And grace's job is to go along and be in our blood flow of our spiritual body and latch onto that marked thought or feeling and bring it down to a physical substance, and it's out of there. Now, we can believe that. We have seen the results of that work. The man could hear and he could speak, and we have experienced that ourselves. We know that it works. Now, you need to try it in your life, if you haven't, to see if it works. If you've tried everything else and it hasn't, give it a try.
Vicki, maybe we ought to emphasize that when you're in the chair, your face will probably say fit. So this is fitting.
Good point.
Which the Spirit will say, well, you're not spitting me out. But that's to create doubt that it even works. So when people first get prayed for, unless they're told, go on, grace, 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 and do some spitting, spitting, spitting.
Yeah.
That's the process.
First, yeah.
And that's mixing some faith with the instructions and exercising some faith. Mm-hmm. So, whether a spirit goes out every time you spit or not, it's not the point. The fact is, that's the way they go out, and you have faith in the process.
Okay, so if you didn't catch that, the instructions are, when you're getting grace, you're learning how to get grace, it's pull on grace, 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 and spit, spit, spit. Jesus spat in healing. If we have faith in God's instructions, is it any different than going to a doctor that says, take 3 of these 4 times a day? Are you going to say, well, I'll try 1. 1 a day. Well, if the doctor knows what you need to get healed, mix your faith with the instructions and do it. You don't know how that little pill's working in your body, do you? Do you? No. Well, you may not know how the grace is working in your spiritual body, do you? Well, no, but mix your faith with the instructions. When you mix your faith with the instructions, you'll spit. Right. I don't have anything to spit. Did you swallow? Did you swallow? What did you just swallow? Well, that's just saliva. That's just mucus. Well, what's spit? Mucus, saliva, spit. Well, okay. There. Are you doing it to please me? Or are you doing it to say, God, I believe that you got a method here. I'll mix my faith with it this little bit, and I'll spit. And see how that fax the spirits down. See how they don't like us to spit. They don't like us to say, praise God. We come here and we maybe weeks before we can finally mutter. Now, who doesn't want us to praise God? Must be something evil. Who doesn't want us to spit? Must be something evil. They don't want us to spit them out. If you don't have the understanding on what's behind spitting, God is a spirit. And for God to create this universe that's made out of what we call physical things, He had to bring His Holy Spirit down to a physical level to have anything physical that we see. That was spirit being brought down to a physical level. Holy Spirit being brought down to a physical level. That's not something new for God. That's His blueprint for creation. Well, it turns out to be His blueprint for destruction, too. To destroy or get rid of evil out of that dimension, He brings it down to a physical level, and it's not a problem anymore to anybody. Anything else on grace?
To increase your faith on that, the reason why God did not choose angels to judge the holy angels, to judge evil angels in the way of spitting, is because an angel also is a spirit being and does not have the physical machinery to get rid of sin. So God chose to work through mankind to judge angels and to get rid of them. So He is asking us as human beings to do something that angels can't do. That should increase your faith to work to get rid of evil spirits, because you're actually going to get rid of that evil angel that has planted those spirits. So you are put in a position to do a work for God that even angels are not called on to do.
Amen. If you want some scripture on that, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 6:3, I believe it is. Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? Well, there would be no reason for us to judge holy angels. They've already made their choice for God and they're remaining holy. We are to judge evil angels. That means we're to choose God where they chose against God. Every time they want us to do something against God, we choose God. And in that process, we judge that angel. The other scripture on that is in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. For unto the angels, the holy angels, hath He, or God, not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. God did not put this Christ world or this restored holy condition of God's creation, He didn't put that in subjection to the angels. What's the next verse say? But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. And it goes on to describe through the rest of the chapter how it was mankind, Christ being a man, to start off the process, it was mankind that would work to destroy evil. As he says in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He, referring to Jesus, also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. The work of mankind is to destroy evil. Jesus did His job. We're mankind. It's up to us. God has put that work in subjection to mankind. And as it was given, that's because we have the machinery, the capacity to spit, to bring that evil spirit down in our mind, into our brain, through the sinuses or however God mechanically does it, and drops down our throat, and we can cast it out.
That understanding about just pulling on grace and everything that you can cast on will go out, that understanding, if you were used to the old pattern and it really chose to become a distraction or a problem in some way, this is a great freedom. However, how she used to be led on how long to pull on grace, as far as, because I know you used to pull on grace until you went through each line of thought.
God does not want to say, pull on it 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. It's not a how long. It's your prayer, your fervency. If you're pulling on it, time to go to work. Well, I better stop pulling on it and maybe get to work. Or if you have the confidence that you have pulled on that grace and say, praise God, I appreciate that grace. Keep it coming, God. Put that grace to work in my mind. And you start pulling in as we're our next point, filling back up with faith in the Spirit. So oftentimes it would be a doubt spirit that would say, oh, I guess I didn't pull on it long enough. Oh, I probably missed some of them. Oh, well, where's that thought coming from? It's beginning to rob us of our faith in the power. So there isn't any set answer for that.
Okay. If the Spirit has been judged, he's not going to do anything in between the time you pull on grace from one session to another. If he is judged, he's judged. So you're not going to let him work. So he's not going to get any spirit off of you. And the next time you have a great session or walking, driving to work, you may roll down your window instead or walking.
That's good. Roll your window down.
And it may even blow back on your head. But it's saying again, pull on the grace and it'll work its work. And also, it's not just pulling on grace. You've got to judge that thing, which is one of the points here. But if you judge it, then it's not going to get any more life off of you.
And that's the point we're coming to in just a minute on how to judge that spirit.
Sometimes evil spirits use the spitting thing and they end up using it for a distraction and a pressure type of thing because they want to compare with, you know, so-and-so over there seems to be spitting out a spirit every few seconds and I only seem to be spitting out a spirit every half a minute or something, whatever. I mean, they judge and compare, and they turn it into a pressure and a distraction, which is not the intention at all of their instruction.
And competition.
Yes.
Yeah. Can I hack a little harder than somebody else and look like I'm more fervent and I'm getting more evil spirits out than they are? Well, does that sound like a God thought or does that sound like a devil thought? What's our motive? What's our motivation? Why? To get a discernment on it. We shouldn't have to have a big sign that sits in front of the bag and says, are you competing with the person next to you? We can start to discern our motive. We can ask questions in our own head. Why am I doing this? Sometimes that, as we know, gets into any gift, whether it's preaching or working in grace or seeds or anything else. Boy, I'm louder and I'm really going at it to swear. Why? What's the point? Boy, I really do grace. I just shake all over. Boy, that's really something. What does shaking have to do with grace? Says he'll shake the earth, but this is <the earth. laughs> they get to the neck of death. Maybe we don't believe that that grace is coming through because we're asking for it. It's not a body language prayer. We're not praying with our body. We're praying with the Spirit. So it's not a sideshow, and this is good discernment for some of us. Praise God. Get in there. We're not competing to see how loud we can get. Sometimes we get down in the grace room and it's seeing how loud the lion can roar. That's a pretty small room with concrete walls and bounces off, and people are sitting there trying to put on grace, and all they hear is a deafening roar. Does God hear us even if we're not that loud? Is it possible even to pull on grace and have some intensity and not even be loud? That's possible. Wasn't it Elijah that says, pray a little louder? Maybe he's on a long journey. Why are we praying? So it's all good feedback.
How do you know if spittle's formed because that was something that was said that spittle will form, and so how do you know if that's really happening?
Well, it's, I don't know really. You're saying if your mouth is dry?
Dry.
I hope it's dry. Dry, but it'll get wet one of these
days.
Mucus will be there. It will be there. Mucus will be there. And there are people that have never, as far as they can remember in their life, they have never spit. Never had anything come down. And it's really a witness to them when that spirit starts moving down. So, again, it's not just because you don't spit doesn't mean that you're condemned and they're not going to like me anymore. I'm not spitting. It'll come down.
Just one mechanical thing on that too. Some degree depends on whether you breathe through your mouth or breathe through your nose. If you breathe through your mouth the whole time you pull on grace, it just does take you to get dried out, but sooner or later, like you said,
sometimes we'll shut our mouth, won't we? Amen. That's what the old machinery's for, is to let God work through it.
Another thing that could be said is that when we're getting prayed for grace, someone's laying hands on us, just because their hand's not shaking all over our head doesn't necessarily mean we're not getting grace. The Spirit will oftentimes try to compare that. We got grace the first time or one time, and it seemed like the person praying for us just seemed like there was something just really moving through, because we could actually feel their hand just really shaking. And this time we got it, we didn't feel any shaking at all. And spirits can hit about that and say, well, I guess their gift must not be with it, or either that, or something's wrong with my faith. I'm not getting the grace I need, which is not true, whether it's grace or whether it's getting seeds. God doesn't always work by a lot of shaking going on.
And that's
not a sign of whether you're getting it or you're not getting it.
And sometimes you may hear somebody saying, grace, grace. People yawn. People, oh, they yawn on me. Believe it, they're still asking God for whatever it may be. Sometimes that's better than having spit on you. That happens too. But it's not because they don't love you. Yeah.
Since the scripture says pray without ceasing, can you pray for grace and seeds at the same time? Or practically at the same time?
Can it?
I think you can.
If you can, praise God.
Amen.
Sometimes you can talk and pull on phases at the same time. Of course, some people can juggle, too. Doesn't mean that everybody can chew bubble gum and walk at the same time.
Matter if the person that was given grace, if they were just totally 100% loaded and off and out of space, if we really needed the grace, if we were pulling on grace from God, He'd get it to us somehow. Don't worry about it. He'd work it out somehow.
Amen.
It's not dependent on the vessel that's given it to us.
Thank God.
We're asking Amen.
Or here's somebody that they've only been in the ministry a fairly short time, and I've been around quite a while, and they're going to give me grace. Well, do we honor a gift, or do we honor a gift? Do we honor the gift when they stand up to preach?
Amen.
Amen. Why don't we? What's our motive? Good discernment for us.
Just protect somebody's head in case it happens to them without having any seeds on it that they could be judging some core parts of these cobwebs. And it'd be a little more than just spittle. And it's a rubbery substance. And you're not losing part of your brains or something.
Praise God.
Sometimes you may be getting down to the core and it's kind of rubbery substance. There's no need to go back through the sack trying to determine whether or not you got some core spirit. Although you may occasionally see someone playing with something that's not chewing gum. Well, it might be just a certain texture that they've noticed was a lot different from some of the other texture. And in truth, it is a very rubbery, very different kind of a substance that happens. So, joy. Yeah.
Along with the same thing mentioned earlier about the person planting the grace or seed gift, not shaking their hands, is also speaking in tongues and not making any noise. If the person isn't verbally expressing praying in tongues, then don't let spirit say, my faith isn't strong, or they're asleep or something, and they're not praying for me. But God teaches us to pray inside just as fervently, and that may be that's a concentration technique to help pray more fervently. So we can, if we're on the job, we can pray also. That's a silent prayer technique.
Amen. That can be pretty distracting when somebody hollers in your ear. You're trying to do something yourself. Whether you're getting an infilling or getting grace or seeds. So those of us that work in gifts can be aware of that. Praise God. Hey, yes, ma'am.
The thing I've noticed is that whenever they'll pray a little harder or something like that for adults, and then they'll go to children, and they'll be a little gentle.
And what does that tell you when they do that?
I don't know.
Does it make you feel like you're still getting grace or still getting seeds? Or?
I don't know. I just didn't know why they do that.
That's a good question. One answer is that every one of us is an individual. And not only is grace working through, but grace also can be mixed with anger or mixed with gentleness or mixed with compassion or mixed with love. So nobody's designating, oh, here comes a person, I guess it's this way, but that gift, if they're meek, teachable, led by God, then they feel the mixture that's right for you. And you may ask, well, and how do they know when to stop praying? Are they watching the clock? No, their eyes are closed. Well, a lot of times when you start working in a gift, you want to know, well, how long should I do it? Well, when it lifts, just lifts. How will I know? Well, just listen. Just feel it and trust that God is the one that's leading and guiding in that. And that's the way you do it. So you may say, well, they prayed for that person for a long time and I just don't think I'm a little bit. Who's comparing? What's our motive? I don't want to be left out. What's left out? And so we learn to discern what's going through our mind and trust that God is taking care of each person's needs. Yes, sir.
How do we know when we're receiving grace? I mean, how do we know when it's, if we're praying, how do we know that we're really getting it?
Have you had James yet?
No.
Well, in James it says, if we ask in faith, believing, maybe that's not quite the one in James, but we will receive it. So if we are believing that that's something God has, and He certainly wants us to have it, right? He's the God of all grace, or the God of all peace, or whatever faith it might be. He's the God of it. So if we believe that He's giving it to us, we got it. If we don't believe He's giving it to us, then we have a doubt thought that's sort of like a piece of concrete between us and God. And God may want to give it to us, but it keeps bouncing off because we've got this old hard-headed, unbelieving thought, unbelieving spirit in there. So that, you know, have you had the understanding that faith is like glue? So if we're asking, believing, then that grace is going to come and stick. And get right on that glue and it's going to be there. So we can believe it. That's part of God's name. Grace is part of God's family name. You probably had some understanding on that in one of your books.
Yeah.
Well, if we ask anything in God's name, He'll give it to us. Grace is in the name. That's in the cupboard. Call J-E-S-U-S. Call God's family name. So if we're asking for it, God's got it available. It's in His name. He'll get it to us. Good question. Praise God. Yes?
When we're home pressing in, question is, does it matter if we're pressing in out loud or to ourselves?
What witnesses to you? What gives you the tingles? You may have to be out loud just to get some of the barrage from going through your mind. So stay awake. You're sometimes a little quiet and you wake up an hour later. So also sometimes the position has something to do with that. If you get in your sleeping chair, then it's a little different than being on your knees or some other position that might not be quite so conducive to staying awake or going to sleep, whichever one I was working on.
Position too is an individual thing. What works best?
Yep.
Each one.
We don't have to fold our hands. We don't have to be on our knees. It's a work that goes on in our mind, and it's talking to God. God's not requiring a natural work of any particular pattern that we have to follow. Josh.
Why does that glory, why couldn't it go on your
labor? Well,
why was it picked up?
Because the mind is not physical. See, your leg is physical. Hands are physical. But the mind, the thoughts, they're not physical. You can't pull one out and look at it until you've used grace to bring it down to a physical substance and cast it out. So the reason that we keep pointing up here is because the brain is physical, and that's what God works through, is the brain. Our mind is spiritual, brain is physical. They're interconnected somehow. And so as we have a thought, it may trigger some electrical circuits in there and actions, and so we have a thought to raise our hand. Oh, wow. It went right up there. But the thought to start with was not something physical. That's something mental or spiritual. So that's why we keep pointing up here for that. You could cut your foot off and still think.
But don't do it.
Well, don't do it.
Is the mind then the soul? Is the mind the soul?
The soul is not the mind, but the soul is the decision-making you that can decide what thoughts or what feelings are going to be your mental body, going to be working in your mind. So we have soul, we have mind, and we have life, spirit of life, moving through that. Your mind is like your mental body. Yes.
I don't quite understand how you can bring something mental to physical.
Okay. Have you wondered how God made the earth?
Couldn't hear the question, Dave.
The question was trying to understand how God could bring something mental to physical. And so the question back was, have you ever wondered how God, who is a spirit, who is mental, made the earth, which is physical? Well, now that you have the question, the answer is, he brought his love and joy and peace and wisdom and counsel and his mixture of thoughts and feelings, his spirit, down to a physical level. Now, for us to say, how did he do it? We'd have to say, I'm not sure quite how the mechanics of that works. But he did it. It says in Hebrews 11, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things that are seen were not made of things that do appear, which means they're made from spirit, invisible things. That's the way God did it. God said, let this be there and let this be there. There was his thought and his spirit moving through that. It happened. Mechanically, not real clear on how the mechanics works. But we can believe through faith that it happened. And that's the same way with getting rid of those evil thoughts, those evil feelings. We can believe that that's the way it happens. Mix faith with grace, pull them down, cast them out, and they're gone. Good question.
It's almost as mysterious or mystical or miraculous, that would be, is the proper word, of how we were born. When what produced us was mom and dad eating rearranged dirt we call food. And that's strictly earth again. And it turned out that we are a spirit, soul, and body. There's some spirit in us. And in reality, it came from dust. Because that's what produces the sperm. That's what produces the egg. And that's what produced dust.
those two things produces three things, a spirit, soul, and body. So that could help in showing, transferring, rearranging, and getting it to be what God wants it to be.
The one added ingredient was the life that God added to the dirt mixture. And so we have a living sperm and a living egg that's made up of old Mother Earth, the dust. So the point that was made is that if we could understand that, then we might have some more understanding on the other. We might have chemistry class sometime, and we might watch an experiment where they put little electrodes down in the water and add another, here's a liquid here, and they put another liquid in, and look, watch closely, there's a rock that forms in the bottom. All that was there before was two liquids. Now there's a rock in there. Where'd that rock come from? From two liquids. Well, that's part of the physical laws of the physical universe of bringing some elements together that at one time were in solution and now they're a rock. Well, that's a little picture of how we've got Holy Spirit mixing with that evil thought and bringing it down to the mucus or the mixture of spittle substance. So there are a few visibles like that that can help us a little bit know that things like that happen.